Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
I didn't get a permit when I did the underlying plumbing. This house is a lemon. Find a new house to buy.
Real estate disclosures. I thought that's what the home inspectors were supposed to solve for us when that industry got started about 20 years ago. 25 years ago. Buying a home and selling a home. You know, it's kind of gone from buyer beware to seller beware.
And just because they find everything doesn't mean that's going to deter the person from buying it.
Right.
If it's in the right place and they like it enough, they're still gonna buy it.
As the seller of a home, we come by the philosophy that when in doubt, disclose. You know, the Arizona law requires the seller to disclose material or important facts about the property, even if you're not asked by the buyer or real estate agent, and the disclosure obligations remain even if you and the buyer agree that no seller's property disclosure statement will be provided. So that really complicates things. So if you're in the mood for, or you're in the market for selling a home, be sure you've done a full analysis of the home and make sure you're prepared to disclose what you know. I think in some ways it's kind of an irony and funny that there were people when we did the show on radon called and let us know, well, I don't want to take the radon test at my house because I would never want to have to disclose if, in fact, this home was, in fact, one of the Arizona homes that were being infiltrated by radon. Okay, I can see someone's aversion to that potential litigation, but does that make sense to live with the radon while you're there if, in fact, your home is one of the ones that may be getting infiltrated? So if you don't know, you can't disclose. So why should I spend any time or effort researching what is or isn't wrong with my house? So radon is one of those things. You know, it's very, very inexpensive to test for. It's very easy to test for. It is a bigger problem than a lot of people realize, particularly in Arizona, because it's a byproduct. Radon is a gas, a byproduct of decomposing granite. And Arizona is pretty much one giant slab of decomposing granite. So that's just one issue of disclosure. Another issue, you know, people ask me all the time, Rosie, what is the biggest problem with homes in Arizona? And it's water. Whether it's falling from the sky or surface water once it's landed or irrigation systems that are broken or leaking, the biggest problem with homes in Arizona is water. And I'll tell you why. Because for years, while Arizona was going from 1 million people to 4 million people from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we had a lot of builders that needed to move into Arizona to build the supply of the houses that were under demand. And as a builder comes here from, let's say, South Louisiana or Florida or somewhere in the upper east, where they're dealing with rain constantly, and they're dealing with 50, 60, 80, 90, 100, 120, 200 inches of rain a year, and they come out to build their homes in the desert where we're only getting 9 inches a year, they ignore the rain, and they put the houses together in a way that when we do get rain, it builds up and creates a problem. Both, we learned this very early when we started subdividing and doing master plan communities, that you can't just grade the desert and plop a bunch of houses on it because you end up with.
Are you sure builders got that memo?
Oh, man. We had to go through massive reengineering of master plan communities of what to do with surface water once it hit the ground, because many of the early subdivisions were building in problems. And I could remember, and I'm not trying to disparage Fountain Hills, it's actually a beautiful community, but Fountain Hills was one of the earlier sloped master plan communities in Maricopa County. And we learned a lot about what to do and what not to do about surface water runoff in the early days of the construction of Fountain Hills. Now, we solved it. The industry solved it over the course of very quickly. But water, it's the biggest problem with homes in Arizona. So if you've had a problem of flooding, if you've had a problem with pipe leaks, if you had a problem with plug condensate leaks, that's one of the things they're going to ask you to disclose in the real estate disclosure paper, and go ahead and disclose it. The most important thing, I think we need to learn to live by the golden rule. You're not going to want to pass a problem down to someone else that you don't want to live with yourself. So when you incur the problem, fix the problem and keep the documentation that, yes, we did have a plug condensate. Yes, it did flood the attic space. Yes, it did saturate the insulation. Yes, it did take the ceiling down in the living room. It did all that. But here's the company that was licensed, bonded, and insured to operate in that field of expertise. Here's the bill for correction. It's all been taken care of. There is no perfect house, right? No perfect house. So let's be prepared as we deal with the issue, fix it correctly, keep it documented, and save those documents for the time when you do want to put the home on the market. So that's just water leaks. We're also going to talk about electrical. We're going to talk about fires, noise, structural problems, animals, pests, rodents. But I think we better get to the lines because they're loading up quick. Where would you like to go first?
Well, Larry's been from last hour, so we'll bring him in first because it is a very timely question.
Yeah, it is. Larry, calling from Prescott. Welcome into the show.
Hi, thank you. I caught snippets of one of your shows either last week or the week before, and forgive me for lack of specific description, but you were talking about electrical impulses and protecting your house from those lightning strikes or any other things.
Right.
Talking about, essentially ground, in layman's terms, grounding your house.
Right.
I'm a new homeowner, just closed on a wonderful place in Prescott last Friday.
Congratulations. So
thank you. Yeah, it was quite a learning experience from, as you were talking about inspections. There was another house I was contracted on, but when the inspector showed up and we started looking at stuff, I said, thanks, but no thanks.
Good move, Larry. Yeah. Good move.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so inspection is a must.
Let me talk about the surge protection, because there's actually two facets to this. Is in monsoon season, we've got electrical surges as we have the power outages in the community. When the utility company corrects whatever caused that power outage, whether it's a tree that's gone across a supply line or whatever it is, and it gets fixed and we redirect the power and they're going to turn the power back on to your house, they can't. It's not like turning on a faucet where they can start it really, really slow and ramp it up to what everybody needs. You're hit with kind of like a wall of juice all at one time, and that's a power surge. It is so inexpensive to protect everything in your house from power surges. If I could be king for a day, I would put it in the building codes. Every home must have a surge protector device mounted outside at the electric panel. These little surge protection devices, these power strips that you buy at the hardware store or the drugstore, they are not sufficient to protect your equipment. They cannot shut down fast enough to protect your equipment. Your equipment will be hit with the power surge, and it could potentially blow out any compressor that you've got on your house, air conditioning compressor, refrigerator, freezer compressors. It can blow out any electronic equipment you have in your house, your home entertainment system, your computers. Anything electric can be blown out by these power surges. For under $500, which is about the price of a decent TV, much less a refrigerator or freezer that's going to put you back $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, $1,500 at the very least. It's a whole house protector that mounts at the electric panel, and it catches the power before it gets through to hurt any of your equipment. It's whole house surge protection. Now, unfortunately, Larry, we don't have a Rosie certified electrician in Prescott that we can refer you to. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to call my good friend Tom Riley of Renovations, full service design build remodeler located in Prescott, and you just ask him to refer you to a great electrician that could come up and mount a surge protection device on your house. That's one facet of protection. Then the second facet of protection is lightning protection. The mounting of the lightning rods, which are really not lightning rods, they're air strobes, but they mount them to the high points of your house. Evaporative coolers are particularly great targets for lightning because they're the metal ones. They've got electricity in them, and they've got a bucket of water sitting in the bottom. All the things that conduct electricity, very good. But go ahead and get the lightning protection mounted. And what they do is they put these spark arresters, air tubes,
air terminals
at the high points of the house and on top of the air conditioning unit, on top of the evap coolers. And then they run this cable down to the side of the house and they drive this big long rod into the ground. And should lightning want to hit your house, it puts up a shield of protection.
What lightning does is it draws from the earth. So you've got this energy from the earth and the energy from the clouds coming together. What this cable, this copper cable does, is it gives that energy a place to draw from. So instead of drawing from any metal object on your home, it's this cable line. It's like putting a steam locomotive on a track. All you're doing is just giving a track for that lightning to go. So instead of hitting your house, it follows the electrical current path of the copper. And it's in a split second. It'll last a lifetime.